Hello, women. It is lovely to be here. Anytime somebody invites me to speak to exclusively a group of women, I'm there. I am a deep, full believer of the power of the feminine spirit and what women have to bring to really every area of business and economics and entrepreneurship and parenting and society and all of it. So I love talking to women. And if we're going to have a conversation about getting what you want, I want to talk about goals. So I'm going to jam a bit on the ideologies and the vibe around goal setting, and then we're going to come full circle with desire and getting more specific about what you want and rooting your desires in what I call your core desired feelings. And it's a process that I've called desire mapping, and I'm basically going to give you the desire mapping process, the overview. So I took a survey about people's feelings around the concept of goal setting, and hundreds and hundreds of people got back to me in like within an hour. I did this on my Facebook page, and it was clear that the term goal has many interpretations, and it elicits wildly varied reactions. So my question was, you know, tell me how you feel about setting goals. And here's what some people had to say. I'm constantly writing down my goals, but I'm not so great at making a plan to fulfill them. Goal setting sucks. I feel good about it, but it's a little intimidating. I love to set goals. I love the achievement of goals more. I feel confused. I feel empowered. The vision is the most important part. I love setting goals, but the follow-through is sticky. I find goal setting inspiring. I find goal setting depressing. So you can see it's all over the place. So, you know, the first question I would put out to you to ponder or to journal about or even just like sort of do your own walking meditation on after this call is, how do you feel about goal setting? What's the reputation that goal setting has for you in your mind? How, you know, what's your experience been, for better or for worse, around goal setting within your own life, both on a personal, individual level and in terms of your career and your vocation and your job, however you want to call it. So personally for me, I have felt that goal setting is totally absurd, and I felt that it's also awesomely inspiring, and it's not quite right, and it's potentially awesome all at once. And my relationship with goal setting has really kind of led, it's had four outcomes. One, set a goal, completely fail, like really entirely fail, like do not even ship as many products as we wanted to ship, not get any deal, let alone, you know, the big deal. So complete failure. Or along the way to my destination, I did a complete mid-course correction, and I changed my mind about my original goal, and I kind of traded that goal in for something much more fulfilling. So I decided I wanted that over there instead. And sometimes I would reach a goal, but I reach it way later than I planned to reach the goal, in which case I still felt like a loser because I felt behind. And I know from having this conversation with thousands of women that so many of us feel behind. You know, I feel I'm in my early 40s now. I feel like, you know what? What I'm doing now I should have been accomplishing in my 30s. And I've learned that really part of creativity and success and reaching for things is you live with this abiding sense that you never arrive. You never will feel like you've arrived. I mean, we get it in varying degrees. And that's actually divine good news, because that sense, you know, it's what I call divine satisfaction. And the trick is to be fully where you're at, completely grateful, deeply appreciated, appreciative, and celebrating what you've accomplished and really marinating in that, and then knowing full well that the next day you're going to wake up and you're going to want more. And that is part of being on your creative edge. And that's one of the reasons that goal setting doesn't necessarily work. And sort of the fourth sort of reaction or relationship I've had with goals is there were times when, of course, not only would I reach my goals, but I would super exceed my goals. I would like go way beyond the mark. It'd be awesome. In which case, I still kind of felt like a loser in relationship to goals because I thought, well, I should have aimed higher. You know, was I thinking too constrictively and too small about myself and my aspirations to begin with? So contentious relationship around goal setting. What I've learned about goals is that they're, of course, valuable. You need to have intentions. I mean, there's a biblical saying, without vision, we perish. And I buy that sentiment for sure. But you need to have soul-centered goals. And you need to go about fulfilling those goals in life-affirming ways. So let me just repeat that, okay? You need to have soul-centered goals, goals that come from the depth of you, from whatever you want to call it, your original self, your essential self, your true self, your God self, your Buddha self, whatever that is that you identify with, which means you're not choosing your mother's goal or your father's goal or society's goals. You're certainly not pursuing anything in order to please anybody else whatsoever. These intentions, these aspirations are things that come from the depth of you. Doesn't mean they won't scare you. Doesn't mean you won't have fear and intimidation and setting those intentions aren't going to make your palms sweat. Again, that's that kind of that unnervy riskiness is part of being alive, and it's part of being creative and ambitious. But these are goals that come from within, and nobody can mess with them. And actually, nobody can deter you from them once you really devote yourself to them. And secondly, the other part of this I want to repeat again. I'd love to, you know, really I could just do a half-hour recording of just repeating this one phrase. You need to go about fulfilling your goals. Need to go about fulfilling your goals in life-affirming ways, ways that are healthy, ways that are going to make you feel free and stronger and enlivened and deepen your inspiration, fuel your inspiration, as opposed to the way that many of us have been trained and indoctrinated into pursuing things, that we're going to suck it up, that we're going to set do or die by dates. We're going to reach the goal no matter what. Guess what? If you set to reach a goal no matter what, it's going to take a little part of your soul with you. You need to have a deep sense of flexibility. So this is what I'm about to say is very paradoxical. When it comes to goal setting, the pursuit of goals, you need to be fierce but flexible. Fierce but flexible. So it's entirely devoted and committed to the vision, and amazingly, breathlessly flexible about how that goal, how you're going to reach that goal, who's going to show up to help you reach that goal, and how that intention might manifest for you. And this brings us to the whole idea around core desired feelings. Before I go on to core desired feelings, let me just really want to hit home this idea of rigid goal chasing and the way we've been trained to chase the goals. The problem with really fixed intention around goal setting is that what happens is that we set ourselves up to like soldier on, and then in doing that, we end up trampling over our spirits in order to get what we want, in order to reach that goal. And it's like we're shouting our goals and our metrics and our deliverables at ourselves. And when you do that, you actually deafen your truth. You're numbing out your actual instinct, right? So that kind of misplaced determination, that relentless determination, it drowns out the critical signs that your body is going to give you, from your instincts, from the people around you, all those things from the universe that are telling you to stop, to change your course, to ease up, to back off. And also chasing meaningless goals, things that aren't really coming from your heart and your soul, is going to exhaust you. It's bad for your skin, you're going to put on weight, and it's going to burn out your adrenals. When we zealously go after dreams that don't nourish our spirit, I guarantee you're headed for trouble. Great things cannot happen in that kind of space. Anxiety disorders crop up, betrayals, you get blindsided by breakups. As opposed to goals with soul energize you when you're on track and you're moving towards them. Life will keep throwing signs and good synchronicities your way to show you that you're on track. And I also want to say around goal setting, the ego loves big goals. You know, the bigger the goal, the more valuable we feel. And sometimes we set bigger goals to feel worthy when really, you know, the simple goals are really what's in line with our spirits. And goals can also, you know, that fixated goal chasing can perpetuate over-planning. And over-planning is the number one killer of magic and creativity. So let me talk about core desired feelings. I think, you know, with our zealous relationship to goal setting, how we're typically trained to go achieve, it has us look at everything outside of ourselves, the things that we want to do and have and be, all the stuff that we want to achieve is external. So it's the house, it's the car, it's the six-figure job, it's the first million-dollar year, it's the person of our dreams, it's the great shoes. It's all that stuff, all those experiences. And all those things are great to want. So this is not, I want to underscore this, this is not about criticizing yourself for what you're going after at all. In fact, you really want to embrace it with your whole heart. But first of all, you want to question what you're going after. So how we set things up is we establish all the goals and the bucket lists and the to-do lists and the quarterly objectives. And we hope that when we reach those goals, we're going to feel good when we get there. And that's actually backwards and inside out. Because every single thing you do, and I mean every single thing you do, the food you eat, the clothes you buy, the people you work with, what you bring into your home, what you put into your body, what you say, is all being driven by your desire to feel a certain way. That's it. I think this is universal. And I could be wrong, but I'm not. Everything you're doing is being driven by a desire to feel a certain way. Now, most simplistically, it's being driven by the desire to feel good. But, of course, there's more depth and there's more layers to that. It's more rich than just that simple emotion of wanting to feel good. So what I'm on the soapbox about is people getting clear on how they really want to feel, your core desired feelings, and then having those core desired feelings be at the center of all of your planning so that the goal or the intention becomes feeling the way that you want to feel. And I can tell you from experience and now working with a lot of people around the process of desire mapping and really inverting goal setting is that getting clear on how you want to feel and setting up your life to do whatever it takes to feel that way is one of the most creative and powerful and life-affirming things you can do with your existence. You move out of victim mode. How you feel is not up to anybody else. It is the one thing that you have absolute control of. It doesn't matter what circumstances you're in. I mean, the most simple example I can give is you look at two different women in two cars, two separate cars in the same traffic jam. One is positively minded. She's not bitching because she's stuck. She's not blaming anybody for the accident on the highway. And she thinks, oh, you know, this is a good time to make a phone call. It's a good time to come down from my day at work. It's a good time to think about my project, figure out what I'm going to cook for dinner. And she chills. There's a positivity there. Versus, you know, Debbie Downer, who's in her car, who's had the same kind of day. She's been stuck for the same amount of time, and she's just completely pissed off and thinks that the world has done something to her by keeping her stuck in this traffic jam, and whose fault is this, and wah, 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 wah. So same experiences, or same situation, different experiences. I think one of the greatest examples of this is to look at someone like Nelson Mandela, who was able to, you know, choose to feel freedom even though he was imprisoned. So, you know, when you put it in that context, none of us really have an excuse for bitching about much. We can choose gratitude. We can even choose the upside of anger. There's lots of things. The whole point is you get to choose how you feel. And if that's the truth, then your core desired feelings should sit at the center of all of your intentions. So here's the exercise. And this exercise, this desire mapping process, is something that really takes time to marinate in. I mean, some of us can do this in, you know, a weekend, just sort of create our own retreat, go deep, get our journals out, and really get to this point of clarity. For others, you know, it's a process of weeks of uncovering and getting clear. So I'm here to give you this tool, and it's yours to pick up and utilize. And if anybody in any kind of workshop or motivational talk or teleseminar tells you that they can help you find your deepest life purpose or your core feelings or your grandest intention in 30 to 60 minutes, then you need to get up and leave the room or hang up the telephone, because that is not how the human heart works. It needs some time to unfold. You need the space to do this process on your own. So the process is this. You think of your life in four or five areas. How I divide this up is very simple. In one quadrant, let's say, consider your job, your vocation, your career, your money, your wealth, your prosperity, abundance, whatever you want to call it. Okay, so just there you go. There's wealth. The other part to consider is relationships, every kind of relationship, romantic, familial, community, societal, work relationships. So there's love. And then there's wellness and rest and relaxation in your body, and there's health. And then there's stuff. And this is what gets mushed into a lot of self-help processes, but I like to just pull it out and put it in its own space. The stuff of your life, the materialism, the positive, healthy material aspect of your life, the home you want to live in, the space you want to work in, your clothes, your style, the artwork you bring into your space, your gadgets, your iPhone, your BlackBerry, whatever it is, the stuff that runs your life that you want to own, that's pleasurable. And then at the center of this is you. And as I mentioned earlier on in this, call that whatever you want, original self, your higher self, your God self, your true self, your essence, your soul, okay? Then you want to ask yourself how you want to feel in every area of your life, and just do a stream of consciousness around that and just let it flow. You want to feel spicy, you want to feel electric, you want to feel successful, you want to feel vibrant, you want to feel loving, you want to feel creative, you want to feel innovative, you want to feel strong, you want to feel sexy, whatever it is. And then I guarantee you, when you pull back, there'll be going to be a lot of repetition. When you pull back, you will see the same themes, the same core desired feelings popping up in every area of your life. And I can tell you that the way you want to feel in terms of love and romance and your sexuality, guess what? It's the same way you want to feel in terms of work and creativity and money. Those same desires are running through your entire life. And you want to get your list of core desired feelings down to, like, you know, four or five feelings. And there's more depth to this process. And you can find out more about this on my website on DanielleLaporte.com. There's a free and open Desire Map Facebook group. So if you just go to Facebook and you search for the Desire Map group, it'll come up. And there's literally thousands of women, entrepreneurial, in jobs, students, mothers, and otherwise, talking about how to get clear on their core desired feelings and how this relates to goal settings and intentions. And so, and then this is where the rubber really meets the road. You're clear on how you want to feel. And the question is deceptively and profoundly simple. What are you going to do today to feel that way? What are you going to do today? What are you going to do for this week, for the quarter, and for the year? And in terms of intention and goal setting that are anchored to your core desired feelings, I never plan more than like a year or a year and a half out. I, you know, there's things that, there's places I would love to be in my life in 5 and 10 years, but I don't do any of my like finessed or really focused planning beyond a year because at this point in my life, I have realized that things change, I grow, life throws you curveballs, and I found that the longer term planning for me just made me really more uptight and stressed, and it just, I felt like it put more pressure on me in the short term. So, you know, and that relates to how I want to feel, which is I need a sense of freedom and liberation with how I go about creating my business and growing my career and my love relationships and all of that. So, does that work for me to feel constricted or pinched at all? Thinking about the other layers I can offer you in this short space around that. You need to know that the things that you're going to do that are going to make you feel the way you want to feel, they range in simplicity and grandiosity. So I'll give you an example. One of my core desired feelings is I want to feel affluence. And by the way, you should look up the definitions of all the feelings that the words that you are resonating with, and you're thinking of narrowing those down to your core desires. Because every word, every definition has so many layers to it. And when you look up the definitions, you might just, you know, you might feel that ding, you know, that's it. So, you know, there was a time when I wasn't feeling particularly affluent, and I still have those days. I'm just, or that the money's not flowing, or I'm not feeling overly creative. And the choices that I can make around that can be very small. It can be, you know, I can retweet something for somebody and send some traffic to their website, and that makes me feel affluent and influential. Or I can buy a sandwich for the guy that's been sitting on my corner in my neighborhood for years instead of just walking by him, and that makes me feel, you know, rich and affluent and like I can make an effect. Or I can do something bigger and transfer some money over or make an investment or call a financial planner and take that next level of growing my prosperity. Another one of my core desire feelings is I want to feel divinely feminine, especially, well, especially in romantic relationship, but especially in business, because I found that it's my most feminine qualities that are the most powerful for me in terms of business. It's my capacity, and this is why I love working with women, it's my capacity to work according to my intuition, to have the courage to work according to my intuition, because intuition often tells you to do the opposite of what is logical. It's saying no for no other reason than you just have that little feeling that it's a no. So that for me is deeply feminine quality. But the choices around how I'm going to generate that feeling of divine femininity on a daily basis could be as simple as I'm going to choose to, you know, wear dangly earrings and a long skirt today and put my hair up instead of, you know, yoga or, you know, a men's shirt and jeans or whatever that is. Or the decisions around how to create divine femininity in my life could be bigger. I'm going to take a workshop about women and leadership or the goddess, or I'm going to pick up Women Who Run with the Wolves, a fantastic classic book by Clarissa Pinkola Estes, which every woman should be reading, Women Who Run with Wolves. And that can generate some that feeling of femininity for me. Or I can pick up the phone and call my grandmother, which always makes me feel much more aware of my lineage and being a woman. So all that to say, the decisions to generate how you want to feel in relation to your goal setting can be very simple or they can be really grand. You don't have to leave the relationship to feel free. It can be small choices to speak up in a board meeting or go to yoga or start running or whatever that is. It's going to generate that feeling of freedom. This is about making small and intentional choices every single day for your pleasure. And that happens everywhere you live and you work. It's how you walk into the office. It's how you speak up at meetings. It's choosing to take the Friday off. It's a longer vacation. It's opting to truly serve the people around you whom you're working with, and focus on them first and not just the shareholders. It's really, I find this really all gets down to love. So let me circle around in our last few minutes and get back to some notions around goals and letting them go. Because as you become more of who you are, as you get clear on how you really want to feel, because it's all about feeling good, and I just repeat this 1,000 times, it is all about feeling good. When you set goals and intentions, I prefer to use the word intentions for myself. When you set intentions that are a reflection of your desired feelings, you're going to end up letting go of some goals that you've had. And I think there are some signs around when to let go of goals that no longer serve you. So, first of all, you let go of a goal that no longer serves you simply when the pursuit of a goal itself has become a total drag. By total drag, I mean this is not the way you want to feel. This is not what you want to be doing with your time. It's building up a ton of resentment. By the way, resentment is completely toxic to your happiness and your creative spirit. So it doesn't make you feel the way you want to feel when you're going after it. So instead of feeling lit up and enthusiastic, you feel compromised. You might even feel like a little bit ashamed or embarrassed that you're going after what you're going after. Secondly, you know it's time to let go of a goal or a goal is not serving you when you become clear that it was somebody else's dream in the first place. So like we can inherit ambitions, just like we inherit our eye color from our parents. And sometimes we inherit dreams, sort of in our DNA, goals from somebody else to chase. And when we realize that we're doing something to please our parents or to compete with our sister or to look good for the Joneses, then, you know, it's someone else's dream you're chasing. And, you know, it's part of the tragedy of the human spirit is some of us spend decades, we spend our whole life chasing somebody else's dream, and we don't wake up till the very end to that pain. Thirdly, when to let go of a goal that no longer serves you, it's taking way too long to get there, and you've been ignoring the signs to stop for a long time. And this is where sometimes people around you can come in really handy. So people around you who love you, who know who you truly are and want the best for you, say, you know, it's time to let this go. And, you know, there are some things in life where if it was meant to happen, if it was going to happen, it would have happened by now. And when you let that go and you really let it wither, you free up so much energy to pursue the things that are in sync with how you want to feel and are actually soul-affirming, life-affirming. And fourthly, the time when to let go of a goal or know it's no longer serving you is you're just done fighting, you know. And this is the beauty of being done fighting is that you're done fighting. There's, you know, when you've got no fight left in you, sometimes it's great because you can stop fighting to make it work. Because clearly wrestling with it isn't making things better, and that is really the divine surrender. So, to wrap this up into the home stretch, how do you want to feel, and what are you going to do today, and this week, this quarter, and this year to generate your core desired feelings? And I can guarantee you that when you design your life that way, you're getting in the driver's seat of your life. You're really taking full responsibility for creating as much of your reality as you possibly can. And whether you reach the goal or not, you fulfill the intention, which is feeling the way that you want to feel. So I'm sending you all of my great, focused, and desirous wishes that you do what it takes to feel the way you want it to feel. And thank you for being here.